I think we can see the most improvements in Liberia. I think there's a lot of efforts that have also been put there. That's also where MSF is having the biggest isolation centers. And apart from that, MSF has been distributing kits, like protection kits, to the public. So that could have made an impact. And besides that, MSF has also done a mass malaria prophylaxis, that prevention at least tries to ease up the burden of other illnesses so that you can concentrate on Ebola. So far, this seems to be working, but we have seen a bit of a drop in terms of admission in our isolation centers. We're trying to investigate why we have this drop, because we don't consider that the epidemic is now reducing, but I think there's also policies that have been passed by the government, which is compulsory cremation of bodies, and maybe the population, they're not keen in taking that up. So we may tend to see possible decline of this. At the same time, you see that the public transport has also been affected, because most of the taxi drivers who have been bringing patients to the hospital have also been infected, and some of them have died. So the numbers of public transport that used to bring patients to facilities has reduced as well.
You mentioned that you all are giving out protection kits. Can you tell us what is in those kits?
Those are things like gloves and masks and chlorine, which is also used for washing hands. It's a quite effective disinfectant against Ebola. They were targeting about 300,000 families.
Now, looking at Sierra Leone, you have now acknowledged that Ebola has spread to all of the districts there. Why does Ebola continue to spread in Sierra Leone?
That's also where MSF has been running the facilities in Calhoun, and also started another one in Bo. But I think the government response has been hampered also by the lack of resources and coordination, both the national and the district level. So there was no strong surveillance system that was put in place. With so many Ebola deaths, we are seeing increased number also in orphanage children homes and centers where they lack also caregivers. So it's a bit of an upskill right now in Sierra Leone. In terms of international response, of course, we're beginning to see this coming through, but I think it's slow and it's also uncoordinated, which makes it not easy to have a direct impact right away. There's so many factors into this that makes Sierra Leone situation getting worse than better at the moment.
Looking at Guinea, has Guinea become stabilized now with the Ebola crisis?
Conakry is where we see it has stabilized a little bit. The surveillance there is actually working. We are seeing that the cases are not really increasing, but it's still not under control. So MSF is also trying as much as possible to construct new treatment centers that are in a place called Donka, where we have some other new cases. So Conakry is stabilizing, but other places in Guinea is not under control.
Also, if you could just briefly touch on the latest Ebola situation in Mali.
Mali, there was one case that the person has so far died. And MSF, because we have a project in that country as well, MSF has gone into assisting, putting up centers so that we can try as much as possible to control the epidemic before it gets worse.
A couple of months ago when we talked, you had mentioned how people were afraid to go to healthcare facilities for fear of getting Ebola. Is that fear still there, and are people following precautionary procedures?
The fear, of course, is still there. And what is more now, we're actually seeing also fear of the people who have recovered, because until now, over 1,200 people have been discharged from our facilities. And they have to go back to the community. So there's that fear that this person has had Ebola before and is still going to spread it, which is not true. So there's that fear of discharged patients, and also there's stigma also and fear of health workers who are working in these facilities from their families that they are actually going to spread the disease as well. So this is a little bit change of trend right now, that the stigma of patients being discharged and the staff working in these facilities they are facing at the moment.
What do you see as the most critical gaps right now?
We can say still everything is still a gap. We did not really see a lot of these isolation centers start providing services. We know that other aid organizations have come in, they have started constructing isolation centers, but the services have not yet started to actually give that necessary impact. We also see a gap in training of health staff. We see quite a big gap, of course, on infection control, because the kits, the distribution of kits that we're doing in Liberia is one thing, but we need to also educate them on how to use them and how to actually control the infection. Contact tracing is still a big gap. Epidemiological surveillance is another one. Alert and referral system is still a big gap. Community education and mobilizing is still a gap. So I can just say we still need everything in those three countries.